Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into Preakness Week. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on the road for our first ever vegan crab cake on Wednesday. We'll be at the Land of Kush. We got great vegan guests, great conversation, and a great local-owned business that we're going to talk about, vegan crab cake. So that's on Wednesday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Window Nation and Goodwill. This guy has been giving us goodwill and sponsorship for a long, long time. Sell a lot of cars out there at Coons Baltimore Ford on Security Boulevard. Dennis Kolatsos will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning doing the Sunday Sports Voice. And we're really into it, aren't we? Adley Rutschman, Preakness, Capitals eliminated like they always are, right? Yep. Like we're into the flow of sports here, and I think the Rutschman thing's going to at least energize baseball fans here.
Yeah, you know, I'll take a look at it. I'm curious. I want to see what the kid's looks like. I want to see what he's capable of, and give me a reason to watch these Baltimore Orioles. They've been a little bit more competitive as of late than they've had been. So, you know what? There's nothing else going on, Nestor. I'm going to tune in. Give them a look.
Well, better pitching makes for better baseball, right?
It does. It really does.
You know, these 19 to 16 games, they move the fence back here. That's going to cost both teams some offense. I don't know whether they think offense is exciting in baseball. I don't know what they want us to be excited about. It used to be root for the hometown. Then it was root for your guy. And then our guys, Manny Machado or Chris Davis or guys go, then it's, well, we're going to be pitching centric or hitting centric. Or when you're this bad, all you can do is wrap a star around it. And you have to be really bad to get the best player, right? Like he's a 1-1, he's a phenom. He should be in the big leagues for 12 to 15 years. This is a coming of age for the franchise. This just should be all this losing. This should be the first step in something that feels like promise for people who are still inclined to believe.
Look, if they can get to 80 wins this year versus 65, I think it'll be a step in the right direction. As you mentioned, this could be the beginning of a turning point that we've all been waiting a very long time for. But Nestor, I'm also seeing reports that baseball this year it's different. It's not as lively as last year's version. I'm hearing hitters, not pitchers, complain about it.
Well, what are they trying to do? That's the issue with New York, with baseball, is are they trying to engage fans through chicks dig the long ball, all this shifting that's going on, analytics, star power, uniform changes, pink bats, purple boas. I don't know what their strategy really is, because the strategy was always, we need more offense. More offense means longer games, right? 11 to 8 game with 6 pitching changes, like all of this between innings. We need to make the game shorter and faster and more crisp. I don't know any of that, Dan. All I know is you and I might be inclined to go back to the ballpark and watch Rutschman play. And I'm wondering, do we get pulled into the soap opera? I'm 53 years old. It's much, much more difficult to pull me into the soap opera. I mean, like the Capitals, when I left. I mean, they were eliminated over the weekend. I haven't watched the Caps play in 4 years. When you leave, when you get up out of a restaurant, you decide to not go back. It takes you a long time to decide to go back. It really does.
It does. And furthermore, Nestor, the younger generation, these kids coming up today, they have so much more to take a look at than what we did. You and I had 4 TV channels to take a look at, right? 2, 13, 11, and then at UHF 45.
We watched they had the rabbit ear. Sometimes that was a little –
right,
flipped
but
on
the
you.
Kids now have thousands of channels they can look at, streaming devices, and baseball. They've got to make the game more exciting to appeal to the young generation here.
Well, to your point, if they've deadened the ball, what's the strategy? if you're deadening the ball, how does that make it more exciting? I don't know.
I can't tell you, but I don't know if – they need to be able to attract these young fans back to the game and build their core around them, because guys like us, we'll tune in here and there maybe, but what about the young kids? And I don't know how many kids are playing baseball anymore. I know softball's pretty big with the girls, but I don't know how many little leagues are out there versus what they were, say, 30, 40 years ago.
Every time I put a television on, my wife and I were over at State Fair the other day having brunch. Lacrosse, soccer. You're especially in the morning, if you're having brunch, it's just soccer, right? European soccer. I mean, your parents would have thought that's crazy
would've
50 years
that.
Ago
that
the old game would have come over here, because people from our side of the world would come over here, and there was no soccer here 25 years ago.
Right. right? But now there's everything right there, all kind of different things going on. So again, if I'm working with for Major League Baseball, I'm looking for ways to attract these younger fans in their teens, 20s, 30s, et cetera, to get them out to the ballparks and build my brand around them and give them a reason to come. But like you said, what is the strategy? What is the vision? Where is this game going to be 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Well, look, the Washington Capitals worked very, very hard for a long time to recruit Baltimore people like you, like me, back putting flags on the car, flying to games in Pittsburgh and Tampa and New York and Toronto. I mean, I traveled all around with the Caps during those years. The Trotz was here, rooting them on, supporting them, all of that. The notion that Trotz left, they haven't won 4 first round exits in a row, sort of a nightmarish thing, right? And I talked to Leonard Raskin, who's still a huge Caps fan, very much into it, wants to see Ovi break all the Gretzky records. And look, if you're a Caps fan, there's been a cup, there's been a parade, you know, justice was served, all of that, you know, 40 years of suffering and all that. But these last 4 years, you're one of the guys that they sucked in. You're not a P1 hockey guy like I was, covering the game, being around the game, immersed in the game. You flew in because you found it exciting. And then you flew out when it wasn't exciting anymore, right? And I would say that is a Capitals issue. It's a Washington sports and entertainment monumental sports. That's an issue that when they get you and bring you in and you have a Caps hat and a Caps shirt, and at one point you were engaged, the firing of the coach, when you talk about management things, and it'll go down with John Miller. I know there are people angry at Brian about Elvis Gerback and Trent Dilfer, but firing the coach the minute after you win the Stanley Cup and then taking 4 facers with Hall of Fame cast, this has really been an interesting time to reflect about the last 4 years for the Capitals.
Well, I think Barry Trotz was more Baltimore than Washington back then, which I think drew people from Baltimore in, right? He looked like a Baltimore guy. He talked like a Baltimore guy. He was down to earth. He was approachable. And most of all, he was a winner. So a lot of times, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. But that was part of the appeal for me and Nestor personally was Barry Trotz. I liked the man. I thought he was a hell of a coach. He was very honest, very transparent, and genuine. And I thought that played well with the Baltimore fan base.
Well, Mr. Leone just didn't think that was worth top of market. And I mean, it really does speak to management. It speaks to investing in people and it speaks to leadership. Well, I've been sitting on the radio for 31 years, Dennis, and I learned this early on. Maybe Johnny Oates, maybe it's just having had good leadership at the newspaper, right? Like the person that runs the place is really important. Oh, and there's absolutely a reason we seek managers and we seek Bill Belichick's and we seek Yoda's and Phil Jackson's, that it is no, this is not an easy job. Just take Shaq and Kobe and just go out there and win, right? We'll give you the best players. You win. Take the Yankees. We'll spend all the money. We'll buy all the pitching. We'll buy all the players. Damn, 1 in 15 years, right? So I would just say that when you get a winning formula and you have a winning coach and you know you have a winning coach and you know you have a winning coach because everybody else wants him and you know you have a winning coach because he just brought the cup and sat it on your desk, that when you disrespect that guy personally, publicly, professionally, trying to short shrift him out of $10 million bucks, all of the above, that 4 years later, I wonder how anybody goes to Caps. How Caps fans aren't really. I'm angry because it was Barry, and I'm angry on a personal level at Zach Leonsis and Ted Leonsis and things that were said to me. So it's personal with me. But for fans who invest in this and go down there, it kind of to me was like the Orioles listening to John Miller, listening to Oriole games after he was gone, saying, now why is he gone? Because it doesn't feel like it had to be about money because there was plenty of money involved. Sure. It feels more like the owner just didn't want John Miller calling the games and the owner just didn't like Barry Trotz and thought, we'll win without you. That's how good we are. We'll win with lesser leadership. You weren't the reason we won. And that is just fundamentally a flawed concept from ownership of any business to think that when you win, your leadership's your problem. That's an amazing thought that Leonsis would be this far in, that he wouldn't at least publicly admit that maybe he should have kept Trotz.
Well, there's two quotes, you know, you and I like quotes that come to mind. And the first is, it's better to be a warrior in the garden than a gardener in a war. And the second one is, I'd rather have 1,000 sheep led by a lion than 1,000 lions led by a sheep. So when those speak to leadership, and it's the speed of the head is the speed of the team, right? Speed of the leader, speed of the team. And I've seen in all different professions and disciplines and occupations, it never fails. It's the lead guy. There's a reason why the team wins, and it begins with the guy calling the shots. It really does. And
well, I remember when Bisciotti, and he doesn't have press conferences anywhere, talk to, you know, the minions like myself anymore. The peons don't get to ask questions of Mr. Bisciotti any longer. But I remember when he stood up and fired Brian, he said, look, I just fired a Super Bowl winning head coach. I've got my own thing here. And he's now, what, 14 years into Harbaugh, right? They've won a championship. Some would question John at this point. Some would question Lamar at this point. But no one can question whether John Harbaugh is a hell of a football coach or not. Now, whether he's the right coach here now, he would be out of work 10 seconds. And Steve knows that. Sure. Bisciotti's never made that mistake. But Bisciotti fired Billick, and Billick never got another opportunity, never wanted one. But when this isn't the first time an accomplished leader has been chased out. Davey Johnson's been chased out of here, right? Buck Showalter's been chased out of here. People that have won, time expires on managers and coaches and leadership, and it may expire on Harbaugh at some point. But when you have a winning thing, when you have a good thing, man, you gotta hug that. You gotta treasure that.
Yeah.
Right now, if you got a great mechanic over at Kunz, you got great salespeople, you got great leaders, you got great people in the back. You gotta keep those people, and you know that.
A good friend of mine told me back in 2012 when the Ravens won a Super Bowl, he said, Dennis, I'm good for 5 years. He said, that's what that Super Bowl win bought me, right? So we're way past the 5-year mark, but to your point, you don't fire a coach who just won a championship right after the season ends, right? Right after he puts a trophy on your desk. That does buy him, I would think, some goodwill, some latitude, some tenure, right? A chance to keep this thing going and
bought
come
that
back.
For Flacco, and we're all pissed about it, right?
That's true. That's exactly right. So, not to mention that the hardest thing in sports is to repeat in any sport, to go back and win a championship the very next year. But hey, things happen. People make mistakes. People have egos, and when you're dealing with an owner, it can be tough sometimes. I had another good friend of mine tell me years ago. He said, you guys are just like baseball coaches or football coaches. You're going to be fired or you're going to quit at some point. And I've been very fortunate to be here at the Kunz Baltimore Ford for 17 years. And look, there's been times I've sat with ownership, and yeah, a couple times I can count them on one hand, thank God, with fingers left over, that the thing could have went sideways very easily with one comment, with one sentence, one word. And gratefully it didn't, but a lot of times it happens.
Well, and it is words, and it is it is an ego business. There's a lot of money in sports, but to think that the leadership isn't important, you know what I mean?
No,
that's
everything.
The part that the fans aren't important. That the owner would fire a beloved broadcaster and tell the fans, "We'll get Jim Hunter in here. He'll be fine."
Yeah.
Like it's just when you have a formula, you stick with that formula. And the Ravens are doing that, right? Steelers do that. The Patriots do that. Winning organizations,
okay,
consistently winning organizations do that. They don't fire their coach 5 minutes after winning a Stanley Cup when they were a fledgling franchise to begin with. I mean, the Capitals were always sort of adrift. Dale Hunter wearing the same tie they gave him in high school, doesn't bathe, they had never coached at the pro level ever, right? Like hiring these neophytes and thinking that's going to be okay, it was never okay. Then you get a professional and you don't appreciate the professional you have. And that would be the same for Peter Angelos, who lured Davey Johnson and John Miller and like all these players and didn't – bad ownership, man. I don't know how you – like the Browns.
You can't.
I don't know how you're going to shake Jimmy Haslam in Cleveland.
You can't. You're taking that job just for the paycheck. You're getting it for the 4-year guarantee, and you're going to get fired before you reach that 4-year mark. No different than when Marvin Lewis worked for the Brown family. He knew, and like you said, he got 4 contracts by the grace of God and by a miracle. But and as he also said, we don't get dumber as we get older. Theoretically, we get smarter. And as long as you have fire and passion for what you do, as long as you're not retired in place, there's no reason for you to lose a job as a leader of an organization.
Dennis Galatzos is here. He is at Coons Baltimore for it. He'll also be here on Thursday from 3 until 5 driving you home. He'll also be here on Sunday mornings with the Sunday Sports Voice. You can follow him, of course, at D Galatzos Show out on the Twitter. You can always find him over Coons Baltimore Ford. Ravens, I waited a little while because we're not going to talk a lot of Caps around here. We'll have plenty of time to talk Rutschman, but the Ravens and where they are at this point. Happy? I mean, do you sit feet up, say a couple mini camps away here? We got a summer looking forward to football. I mean, I'm really looking forward to football season. We got a schedule now. We got this Jets opener. We're going to do a bus trip to the Jets game and to the Giants game and try to put the band back together. I started to look at the schedule in Tampa, and I know you wanted to go to that game in Jacksonville on Thanksgiving weekend. Just trying to plan the year. I'm excited that masks are off. So I've been flying over the weekend. There's been some normalcy. I'm back on a yoga mat. It feels like after the 2-year hiatus, this football season is going to have a real ramp up and a real preseason and a real normal vibe to it for the first time in 3 years.
Well, I can tell you with great certainty that the fan base is ready to go. I threw out a tweet Saturday about Chuck Clark and my wish for him not to be traded for a bag of chips and an unproven receiver. And man, everybody piled on, and it was a great conversation, great debate. Most people were with me, but there were some against me in terms of what we do with Mr. Clark and his services. But it just goes to show you, our fan base is energized. Our fan base is ready to get after it. Can't wait for the season to start. And we do have great expectations around here. As you mentioned, the Patriots, the Steelers, our fan base is spoiled, and rightfully so. And we expect great things, not just to get into playoffs, but also to win.
Who's arguing that we should be giving away Chuck Clark? I mean, do these people, have they watched the deep depth issues that we've had around here?
Yeah, there's look, they mean well, but not everybody has enough depth, understanding, and knowledge of what it is to start 46 games in the NFL. To be traded for a guy like Jalen Reagor, who may be going to the USFL or the Canadian Football League once they start playing games again, right? So you just don't give a player of his caliber away. He may be upset that they drafted Kyle Hamilton. He may be looking at reduced snaps, but he's still a Raven, and as long as they can put him in there and scheme him up, I expect him to be a Raven that comes September the 1st.
Well, to your point, if he's disgruntled, then all of a sudden, disgruntled in modern sports is the best thing you can be. If you're disgruntled, they'll get rid of you. I mean, that's a new age thing. The old age thing was sit down, shut up, I'll put your ass at the end of the bench, I'll wreck your career.
Not
the
anymore.
The new thing is, we'll replace you with a volunteer instead of a hostage.
We'll accommodate you, but as long as it makes sense, though, right? It's got to be commensurate value. So I'm not opposed to moving on from Chuck Clark. It's just you can't bring in another unproven receiver, a Breshad Perriman type, a guy who's never lived up anywhere near his draft position. If you want to bring in a Julio Jones, just like they brought in last year, Sammy Watkins, take a shot with him. I'm great with that, but they just don't need a whole lot of wide receiver. People are saying, we need a wide receiver. How many? They just drafted two pass-catching tight ends. I mean, how many more?
They're not going to throw the ball that much.
They're not. They're a run-first team, and if you're a wide receiver, a veteran wide receiver, this is the last place. It's not a knock on the Ravens. It's just the scheme that they run. It's not a pass-first offense, so it's nothing but business, folks. That's all it is.
Is Anquan Boldin still available?
Oh, my God. You talk about I have his jersey. I'm glad I retired a Raven. But that's the one that got away. We need an Anquan Boldin type. But those guys are rare, right? The very rare players that can do what he did.
See, I'm not going to do this list of the most disappointing things. I mean, I've been bringing up John Miller and Barry Trotz and Davey Johnson, you know, all the things, Trent Dilfer, you know, Anquan Boldin. You know, instead we could just talk about the glory days and winning championships around here. We could.
You know what? Look, I'm going to have the Baltimore Orioles send a representative at my funeral because I want them to let me down just one more time.
Oh, he's dropping the mic on that. Dennis,
let me down one more time, just one last time, right? Just one last time, let me down in my life, once my life is over with.
What's going on out of Coons Baltimore Ford? Well, you got some cars out there?
Yeah, you know, we have enough. We have enough to be dangerous. We have enough to be of service to our customers. I just had two truckloads arrive today, so we look at them like gifts coming, like Santa's sled coming to the store on Christmas Day, because most of them are pre-sold when they arrive. So our salespeople are energized. They can't wait to call their customers and say, "Hey, Mr. Aparicio, your 2022 Bronco Sport is here and ready for delivery." So that's what we do every single day.
Is that the pea green or is that the Commander Blue?
You know what? They just gave me a color on a Mustang today. It was Magnificent Purple or Mystique Purple or something. Some of these names that they name these cars these days, the paint jobs. I mean, my Bronc was Cyber Orange, so...
It was a joke in the era of Vacation, right? I mean, the Vacation.
It was.
The family the
Bronco. the Bronco you drove, it was Antimatter Blue. Who comes up with these names, Nestor? Antimatter Blue. I don't even know what that means.
I was going to call it Azure, but I wasn't sure.
Antimatter. I have to look that up to figure out where they came up with this paint scheme.
Well, my wife, by the way, is into this. But the thing she said is, I'm not ordering a car without test driving. Did you like that Bronco you drove? She's asking me. I'm like, Dennis has got four of them out there. Go drive them.
Yeah, you can drive them. That's one thing. That's one benefit of coming here is we do have vehicles for people to drive. We're also getting a 2022 Ford F-150 Lightning, the electric. It's a mannequin. It's not for sale, but it is for people to drive because I do think it's important that you get behind the wheel of a vehicle that you're considering purchasing.
I moved to the county. You think I'm a truck guy. Is that what you think?
You have a lot of companies. America loves its pickup trucks. Ford has the F-150 has been the best-selling vehicle in America for 45 years. There's a reason for that.
Well, because it hauls stuff and people need it. And this country works and moves things, period.
And now it's got the front, right? The front trunk that you can put stuff in. It can tailgate. You can put ice in there and beverages and whatnot. So,
I've never seen this, a front trunk.
Oh, I got to send it to you. It's called a frunk.
I don't say, can't say that on the radio. George Carlin, come on.
F-R-U-N-K, frunk.
All right.
Instead of a trunk, you put F on it. It's a frunk. It's a front trunk. It works. It's amazing. I'm going to send you one filled with beer and ice. You'll see it. You'll like it.
Well, we take it up to the Jets game on September 11th. What we need to do. Dennis Colatzos is here. I'll be taking the tour of all crab cakes, 31 crab cakes and 31 breweries in the month of August. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery, Goodwill, and our friends at Window Nation. Of course, Dennis put me in that Antimatter Blue Bronco. I wish I would have known that then. I would have been saying that a lot because
I couldn't pronounce it. It took me a while to figure it out. But
was the color of this shirt, what would it be?
Is a periwinkle blue? Could I say
this?
This
is Pastorini blue.
Pastorini blue. I love that. I love that. I love that. Campbell blue.
It's love you blue is what it is. Dennis is out at Coons Baltimore Ford. You can find him. He'll be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, again on Sunday morning with the Sunday Sports Voice. You can follow him, of course, on Twitter at D. Colazzo Show. And he'd be happy to sell you an antimatter blue or a creamsicle orange or whatever the color scheme is. My wife's out at Ford.com right now clicking away, Coons Baltimore Ford.com, trying to pick her vehicle of choice. Then I'll see you on Thursday. We'll get together. And maybe by the time we get together, we have this Rutschman thing figured out. Are you going to break this? Or no breakfast for you.
I'll watch the game from work, and to me, I'm a casual racing fan. Love it, of course, when the 80-1 horse wins the race. I think it's fantastic for the sport. Love underdogs.
Well, hate it when that horse doesn't come to the Preakness, though. That's a problem.
It is a problem. It's a big problem.
It's a big problem, Randy. We're going to be talking about it all week. Dr. Donna Brothers will be joining us this week. We will also have Mike Tirico's coming on, Marty McGee, Dick Girardi, all the usual suspects talking all things Preakness and Pimlico. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.